Welcome to Average Destiny Salt. Here are your hosts, a bunch of assholes.
New season, same podcast you probably haven't told your mother about. Welcome back to Average Destiny Salt. Of course, my name, Steven, he is Michael, and today we are joined by a new voice slash face into the crew. Bobby, welcome to Average Destiny Salt. How are things going today?
Yo, things are going great. Just grinding away at the new season. Very satisfied so far. Can't wait to get more of it, to be honest.
All right. And as per usual in this show, not that we've had many guest hosts in here, but what thing that we like to do is any new voice, we want them to introduce themselves by telling us who their main character is and how long they've been playing Destiny and what your first memories are. So all those things I just told you. Now speak words.
Sir. All right. I am a D1 vet. I played for most of the first year. I am an Awoken Warlock male. I kept the same character going into this game when I started it up. Honestly, like I started the game off with a bunch of my best friends at the time, and just the Vault of Glass, which ties into the season quite a bit. I have some of the best memories in all of me playing video games ever with the Vault of Glass. Just failing so many times, and then finally the first time I beat it was just the best feeling that I can remember playing video games. It's amazing.
All right. Thank you for that introduction. And as again, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me.
Sure thing. So Season of the Splicer was released as of this recording a couple days ago. This is May 13th that we were recording this. It was released on this past Tuesday. Very, very rough start to Bungie. Now, we have a list of bad things. We have a list of good things. We want to start with the bad and work our way up to the fun things in this season. But first and foremost, let's just talk about how collectively we have 0 days worth of video game development experience or server management, but I just don't understand how Bungie always drops the ball when a new season or a new expansion starts. I hate the honeydew fruit just out of passion because I think it's a tasteless, disgusting fruit, and I hate the honeydew code, which apparently some people are still being bugged by it. So, Michael, wait, Bobby.
Some people are still being bugged by it?
Some people are still being bugged by it, apparently. Wow. I wanted to know, how long did it take for either of you to actually jump in and start playing this new season?
Oh, I didn't play launch day. I know Bobby's got some stories,
though. So. I'm an idiot, and so at 10 o'clock, I'm like, okay, I'm just like spamming, trying to get the update going. It took, it took 5 minutes for the update to go, and then I'm just waiting to get into the server. Kept on waiting. I got in. I played the first mission. Everything was fine. I got to the tower, and then I needed to go to the helm. It kicked me out 7, 8, 9 times in a row trying to go to the helm, and obviously I pulled up the Reddit just to see what was going on, and then I'm like, while I'm waiting, let me go ahead and just get my new exotic sidearm. And I go to get that, and I realize I'm an idiot, and for the second straight season, I did not buy it beforehand. So I'm like, okay, let me just go buy it. There's no option anywhere on the PlayStation Store, in Destiny, anywhere, to buy the new season pass. That, like, how did Bungie not anticipate, or like, check into that? That seems like something they would want to make sure people could do. No?
The season pass, you could not purchase. The season pass, you could not purchase anywhere in game. But a fun side effect was crossplay was accidentally activated.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's pretty typical. But I feel like I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings at Bungie who's on their QA team, but there's been some pretty big omissions from whoever's checking some of these things. While we're talking launch specific stuff. I think the crossplay definitely probably contributed to a lot of the honeydew errors, although, we say this without any insider knowledge.
Wild speculation.
yeah. Well, and I'm not an insider, but I do understand a lot of the times why some of these games will have issues on launch day. And it just, pure server overload, so many people trying to get in and play at once compared to, normal loads. The explanation I've seen about it before is that companies, sure, they could buy a whole bunch more servers to handle the launch day traffic, but then 90% of the time, 95% of the time, those extra servers aren't doing anything and they end up being a larger waste of money. Mm. So I think that's, you know, in my incredibly, you know, unexpert opinion on the matter, I feel like that's where a lot of the launch day issues comes in, because, you know, Bungie gets a lot of shit for it, but they're not the only game company that has, like, launch day issues with their games. I feel like every big game and big release will end up running into these issues. And no matter how many posts I see on the subreddit about don't take Tuesday off to play, don't take Tuesday off to play, people will still have that small sliver of hope that Tuesday launch will go perfectly fine and they'll be able to play all day. Although this launch did seem particularly bad.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys played it at launch for PS4. My friends and I, we took the day off for the next day. We got our PlayStation 4s and got Battlefield 4. And that thing was so incredibly bugged. I think you couldn't play for like 2 or 3 days. So at least it wasn't that bad. At least Bungie's never really had anything quite that bad. So the bar is at least set pretty high for screw-ups of that nature.
Yeah, no, they definitely will mess up. But like, it was definitely not a smooth launch by any stretch of the imagination. But I feel like all things considered, it could have gone worse.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I was playing by, I think, like 2 o'clock, like without much problem by that point. I think by 4 o'clock, they changed it to where, or they made it so you could buy the season pass. So by about 4 o'clock, I had no problems with anything. But that's just me. I heard a lot of other people did continue to have problems throughout the night with the Honeydew error.
Yeah, that's just rough. It also doesn't surprise me that they fixed the season pass thing quickly, because typically anything with relation to that or Everest gets the top priority. So those are the big money earners. I am curious how much they do typically pull in every season in terms of season pass sales. That would actually be an interesting number. But yeah, I mean, it sucks that people had so many issues and are still having issues. But to my knowledge, when I was playing yesterday, I didn't run into any issues at all, and it was great. That intermission was pretty hype.
I wish it would have been a little bit longer, but, you know, it's hard to be mad at that. It was just what it introduced and, like, how cool everything looked, I have no complaints.
Yeah, no, it's pretty standard for a story intro mission, but it got the hype there, and it set up the season. You know, particularly with some of the extra cutscenes and whatnot afterwards, but we're here to talk about the bad first.
It's just really funny because I didn't have any intentions of playing it on day one because I know it's always going to be a shit show because everyone's trying to log into it, new servers, all that stuff. And I found myself having a fairly quiet day. I logged in. I was able to get the introductory mission done in 5 minutes. I thought, wow, this is impressive. And I was honeydewed for a good hour and a half, maybe after that, before I was able to actually jump in and do any activities. And even then, it was kind of spot and go for a little while. And I'm with you. I don't understand why I do this to myself. I know day one is always going to be rough. I don't know why I tell myself I'm going to try to log in on that particular day. And I get what you're saying, Michael, and that it's probably a bigger waste of money to invest in all these servers and all this space just for a 12-hour window, because let's be quite honest with you. But the notion of crossplay being accidentally activated, the seasonal pass
that was so funny.
Not being purchasable, which is hilarious because, you know, Bungie wants the money and they literally prevented themselves from getting money. Right,
I would have assumed that was their number one priority. So that's so funny that they did that.
So there was that. There was people having issues all over the place. Like I said, there's still some people having issues with the Honeydew error, not as frequently as it used to be, but still issues with that. And then Transmog. We finally got a firsthand look at what Transmog is. Obviously, we had the articles. We had the, you know, this week at Bungie's that explained it a little bit more. But it's Transmog isn't all what it seems to be. I mean, it's great because you get a little starter pack, so you get about 10 items that you can unlock for your character, so that was cool to at least be able to pick an outfit or two and be done with it. But we found out that the time gating is a little bit more aggressive than initially led to believe. Cole, Michael, how do you feel about that? Do you still feel like this is just not quite thought out as well as it should have been, or do you feel like this is still blown out of proportion?
I think it's getting a lot of negative attention due to the way it was implemented. The fact is, like, you can't, if you were to mow through 100 enemies in 5 minutes, you would get the same amount as someone who mowed through just a few enemies consistently through those 5 minutes, because it's time gated, not based off number of kills, but just literally based off, like, every 2 minutes, I believe, you can get one of the things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I feel like it's getting a lot of flack because of that. And it's like, it's turning it into the thing where it's like there's literally no efficient way to grind it if someone literally did just want to sit there and kill ads to grind it, which is kind of stupid. It did turn out to be, I think, as much of a grind as everyone expected it to be. I know someone did the math, and it's like to grind out enough of it to, you know, get like the half of the season, you have to be playing like 7 game days. Is I believe what the Reddit post.
7 in-game days, not real life. 7 in-game days.
So 24 hours times 7. Which I think I did the math based off. Hang on, let me pull out a calculator. I'm curious how much that is per day.
It's a lot more time than I have, I'll tell you that much.
I think. Well, I mean, my math could totally be off here. I think it was slightly less than 2 hours of gaming per day in Destiny for the whole season. Wow. To hit that cap. So, which,
I mean, that'll get you to a high level.
That'll get you to a crazy high level, which, you know, some people will absolutely do that. But to me, it's like, I feel like the majority of players weren't going to play that much anyway, which begs the question to me. It's like, if you were going to time gate it that hard and make it that much of a grind, why cap it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
yeah.
At this point, like, you know, like people would be complaining about the grind for sure, but why even have a cap to begin with if it's like literally going to take people 7 in-game days, which I would be very curious how many, like, the percentage of players who actually end up hitting that cap over the course of the season, because that's a crazy amount of playtime.
If it's going to be this much of a grind, don't cap it. Mm-hmm. If it's going to be very easy to acquire all these things, then go ahead and cap it. I mean, mm-hmm. It just feels like you took two solutions from different phases and added them together, mm-hmm. And it still doesn't make sense.
And it makes for just a weird and awkward player like experience. Like, because both of them, you know, like, you don't want to just... I get that Bungie put a lot of time and effort and money into it to develop it out of player thing, and they want to make some of that money back through it via Eververse. But at the same time, it's like, don't, you know, put it in the game and then, like... Where am I going with this? I lost my train of thought. I don't know. It just feels like it wasn't thought through.
He's so upset
in terms
he can't
of
even
the...
conceive his feelings right now.
I'm not upset about it.
That's more exciting if you are.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to deceive our viewers.
You start yelling, please.
Though.
Yeah, right. No. We need the ratings.
to be honest, like, I'm of the boat where it's like I'm probably not even going to use much of Transmog. I get it's there for the people who want to do it. My thing with gear has always been I use ornaments as a way to mark my loadouts, so I know which pieces of armor go with which pieces of armor, and like all of the mods work together. That's how I've always done it.
Smart.
Since I, you know, run typically 4 different sets of armor, you know, that all work with different exotics and whatnot, and I don't like to change around the mods very often. Shout out to George. So it's like, to me, putting transmog on these things, like, I'm probably not really ever going to take advantage of it because, you know, I mean, you guys don't pay enough visual attention to me to know what I'm doing. But if you did and you saw me in my orange armor, you would know I'm in my Peregrine Greaves build.
It's hard not to pay attention to your bright ass crayon eating look.
Well, it's like if you see me in my big orange bulky armor, that's my Peregrine Greaves build. You know, I'm going to be kneeing some shit. But like, for me, it's just so much easier to organize stuff in my inventory that way. So it's like, I'm probably not going to take too much advantage of transmog. So it's like, I'm not upset about the way they implemented it. I think it's stupid. And I think it's, you know, very anti-player. But, you know, like, to me, what they need to do is they need to, one, remove the cap. Two, I don't mind if they make it a big grind. But the way they have the grind implemented to where it's like, literally a drop every 2 minutes, where it's like, it doesn't feel like they're... Like, you have to be, like, it promotes like this weird consistent play style where it's like, I don't know. I just it feels like weird to me, and it feels wrong. And it's like, did they really think the players weren't going to see through this day one?
I would have rather the transmog bounties were similar to what we had for Guardian games, where you pick a card. I mean, you can do it right now. You pick whether it's for Vanguard strikes, for Crucible, Gambit, Nightfalls, Dungeons, Raids. You pick how you want to acquire those. I would prefer it if it was more like the Guardian games, in that it's only going to take me 4 to maybe 6 or 7 runs of that particular activity for me to complete it. And then I can turn it in, get the bounties, and go through that stuff. So that's my point. If you're going to make it this much of a grind, don't cap it, because that seems completely pointless. But if you're going to make it as easy as it's going to take me 2 strikes to complete a bounty, and then I can turn that in for a new ornament, then you can cap it in that situation, because it's easy. I did my, you know, I got my 5 pieces of armor for the season. Cool. Now I just got to wait for next season in order to get the new ones, just like any other activity or any other triumph in the game.
Yeah, I'm in the camp of don't cap it and then just make it a grind. So the people who really want to grind this shit out and, you know, eventually unlock everything, give them the ability to do so.
Exactly, because Bobby ended last season at what, level 572?
Yeah.
I think it was like 264.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, no.
Highest yet.
Yeah, so, like, the fact that the currency is a grind to get, and then the bounties themselves are pretty brutal. I don't know if you've gotten one yet. I picked up a Gambit one just to see. And mine is send and defeat blockers in Gambit. 0 out of 50.
Oh, wow.
So that's going to be a good chunk of Gambit games right there that I'm going to be spending sending and defeating blockers in Gambit.
That's almost an entire season's worth of Gambit playlist activities for a more casual person.
Yeah,
I do think it's team-based, though, isn't it? Because I think I got a strike one, and we needed 200 people defeated with Arc, but I believe it was with the team, not just you.
This one does not say team. They normally will say team. Oh, wow. Maybe if I damage a blocker and a teammate finishes it off, I bet you it would count, but I think I would still have to do that initial bit of damage. so it's like, see, I don't mind these actually being, like, thing. I feel like a lot of the player base has like this mentality of like, get shit done as quickly as possible. Here's the quickest way to grind this out. Oh my god, why don't I have anything to do? So I actually don't mind the bounties themselves being longer. I just feel like it's kind of shitty that like it takes so long to get the currency for one bounty, when these bounties are going to be, this is going to take me a good number of Gambit games where it's like, I'm not going to sit here and grind out just fucking killing blockers. I'm going to do this slowly over the course of like a few weeks probably. Yeah, I don't know. Those are my thoughts on it. Like, I actually don't mind like these longer term bounties. I know some people just hate them. They just want to get their bounties done and quickly as over as possible. But I'm kind of fine with it.
Sometimes the best bounties are the ones that like take a while. Like, I remember how long it took me to get what was it, Randy's throwing knife? This is, I don't know, 4 seasons ago now. That took me, because I sucked at Crucible at the time too. So it took me quite a bit of actual playing time to get it. But when I got that, like, there's that feeling of accomplishment. Whereas, like, I got the new fusion rifle, what, Null Composure or whatever it is
for this season. You got that already?
I have it already. And it's really fun, but it's like, oh, I got it after a day and a half.
Damn. I mean, yeah, that one doesn't seem like a crazy grind. Like, I'm already at 69% of the points and 36% of the activities of just playing a bit for a few days.
Oh yeah, it's you just play. You don't even have to, like, I didn't use fusion rifles really. You just get it.
Like, you'll get these things just by playing, and people have this attitude where it's like, I needed to get this as quickly as possible, and it's like, a lot of the shit in this game is pretty damn quick. And it's like, we finally get something, you know, not that I'm for how they did it, but we finally get something that does take a while, and it's like, people lose their minds.
It's like, how many of these people, though, have already used all of the stuff that they have for it? Like, the stuff you get right away. Like, you were talking about, you're probably not going to use it?
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people
have. Yeah, but I'm also not the target audience for all of this garbage. All of it.
That's me, too. It's like, I think I used one. I was looking through all my stuff yesterday, and I was like, I think all the ornaments I have right now are the ones I want to use. So I don't really feel like I need to unlock anything. There was one set of, like, I think... There was one set of legendary leg armor And I was like, oh, wow, this is actually pretty nice. So I unlocked that. But like, I looked through everything else. I'm like, there's nothing I even feel like using. So it's I don't even know if I'll use anything else the rest of the season. I'll do all the bounties and stuff just to do them, but I don't think I really care that much.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it sucks for people who do care, but yeah, I feel like none of us are particularly like fashion people. And, you know, if we are, it's like, I feel like we kind of just made do before.
You know, it's like, I think maybe like once or twice a season, I'll buy a set of armor. Like, that might be more than most people, I don't know. But
From Eververse?
Yeah, from Eververse. So it's like, I already have like, I don't know, at least 10 of each, like, you know, chest piece, boots, helmets, and then stuff you randomly get from Eververse Engrams. So it's like, I feel like I already have a good amount of stuff that I can choose from, and I only really want to use like two or three each, maybe, throughout a season. So I don't know, it's definitely not for me. I just don't know, I feel like it's a lot of effort to continually change your look every like week or two. So it's just, I don't know who's actually doing this.
I mean, I've largely kept the same shaders, the same look for the last two, three seasons at this point. I want my warlock to look like he literally was sucked in time from the 1980s with just bright colors and really, you know, retro look and feels. The
80s guy.
Yeah, exactly. The 10 freebie ornaments that you were given at the beginning of the season, I haven't even used them all. I still have six or seven of them left over. I got a chest piece that I thought looked a little bit better because I got the new exotic leg pieces for the warlocks, the one that basically kind of buffs your rifts a little bit. Those are my new go-to babies. Transversive steps will always be, you know, my first love, but those are my new favorite things in this game right now. But it's funny because on the last episode, I was definitely saying, this is ridiculous. Why are they doing this way? Now I'm just like, I unlocked the things I needed. I'm happy with it. And I guess I'm okay for right now. But I am also a person that when I'm bored, you know, in 4 months down the road, I'll definitely change my look up because, oh, hey, I saw something on the Destiny Fashion subreddit and I want to try to emulate that look as best as possible.
It's nice to get a new look. I get that.
Every once in a while, yeah. Moving on from transmog, another thing that's just kind of what the hell is going on here. Let's talk about the Deepstone Crypt raid and the Pinnacle grind, because I feel like these two kind of go hand in hand in a way. Before this season of the Splicer, the Deepstone Crypt was a great way, if you had the time and the personnel, obviously, to get Pinnacle rolls. And you can do it every single week. You can do it on every single character. It was amazing. I feel like that was a great addition into the then new season. That has been removed from that raid. Bungie has confirmed that Vault of Glass will be the new source of Pinnacle materials for raids when that drops on, well, literally in a week from as we're recording this podcast. But the Pinnacle grind itself has changed a little bit, and it's becoming more of a grind. It's definitely not for the casual people nowadays.
I go 50-50 on it. I'm 50-50 because I do like, props to Bungie, they got rid of a lot of the main power grind, and the fact is, like, when this season started, I was already at 13-10, so my power grind was basically done for season, aside from Pinnacle. But I had grinded Pinnacle last season, so it's like, if you grind Pinnacle, you're already at, like, at level for the next season, which I think is a good way to do it. It's kind of annoying that they did remove so many sources of Pinnacle drops when, you know, it's still clear that they want people engaging and playing the game and, you know, like doing these activities, but it's like, fuck, now it's actually going to take a good amount of time with the amount of stuff that they took away from Pinnacle drops. In the Presage or in the TWAB today, they mentioned that the Presage activity should be awarding Pinnacles. And it is not currently, so we will be getting at least one extra source of them. But yeah, like, I'm like, it's kind of, a lot of people are really up in arms about it because they probably thought they'd be done in like a couple weeks with their Pinnacle grind. and now that's just not going to be the case. And it is like, it does feel a bit like a bait and switch because we were told the power grind was going to be less, and that's true, but they just increased the Pinnacle one, which admittedly isn't as important, but it's like, people just like that feeling of being done.
I think people just like to burn through things, and like I definitely get it. Like you were alluding to it earlier with some of the quests and bounties and stuff. Just off the top of my head, I can think of at least like what, 4 or 5 easy pinnacle things a week. You've got the Vanguard, you've got the Gambit, you've got the Crucible, you've got the Splicer missions.
See, oh, that was another one. I think that one might be bugged. The there's turning in the bounties for the override mission. Supposed to reward a pinnacle, but some people have been reporting it was at level. I don't know if that's been fixed yet. I haven't seen
if it has or not.
I didn't pay attention when I did it. Huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That one's iffy. I do think you get a pinnacle from doing the override mission. I think opening the chest 3 times a week.
Yeah, 3 times with the override key.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is the...
Does the moon still have it with the
Empire hunts? Empire hunts on Europa. Moon does not have it with the nightmare hunts.
Okay.
Tangle Shore doesn't have anything.
They got rid of it for they got rid of it for the Presage. Is the
Presage will be coming back.
That's right.
That's just his legacy powerful gear, so I don't think it's a pinnacle hunts. There is also the Harbinger quest, which is the Hawkmoon quest.
Oh yeah, that's the one I was talking about. Does that one have the pinnacle with it?
That one does. That one does.
But so I don't know. I feel like there's six sources. Like I don't know.
Well, some of them are plus one from what I've been seeing, where it's like it's literally like I'm getting 13, 11. So it's like if I'm only playing one character, and I'm getting duplicates. And some of these drops, only a few of these are getting me like +2 drops. It was going to take me probably half the season to get to the max.
I think that's the biggest issue is because there are a lot of people who play multiple characters. The grind almost feels like it's doubled in this case, especially when you're adding in. I know Transmog is a completely separate scenario, but you add that in. It's a whole other thing that you have to go through for each character. Me, as someone who mains a Warlock and dabbles with my Hunter whenever I remember I have a Hunter, it's a decent amount of time, but it also, like, I have other games I want to play, and that's the biggest thing that it boils down to. I've got 3 hours to kill. Do I want to grind out a couple missions in Destiny and maybe get a +1 at my power level, or do I want to actually do something more productive and play something else? More often than not, I end up just playing Destiny because I am stupid ho, and that's just my life.
Yeah. Bungie just needs to. Go on.
I was just thinking. It makes me wonder how many people played Destiny 1, because like the hard cap was so much less forgiving in Destiny 1. The only way to like go above, from what I remember, was like to get like raid gear. Like that was like the only way to like actually reach the very top in like year one of Destiny. I don't know how it went from that point on, but. And if you didn't have good luck, you were just screwed. Like there was no way you were getting to the very top of the power leaderboard in that case. I just feel like everything has gotten maybe it's better this way, but everything has gotten much easier. And just a lot of people don't know how tough it actually used to be. And I don't know if that's better or worse, but that's just got me thinking about that.
Yeah, and keep in mind, like in the Destiny 1 days, you're absolutely right. Because imagine like when Vault of Glass. Was released at the time, that was the only raid people can do, and that was pretty much the only source of, in this case, pinnacled material. What Bobby said is absolutely correct. You had your actual level once you got to 20, then you had a light level, which was kind of like your extension of that. I forgot what the cap was for the light level, but once you hit that, you hit that.
Wasn't it like 30? People were always like forever 29 or something.
Yeah, it was something. really, really low, because they got rid of that with the season pass levels now. Mm-hmm. But essentially,
I've seen the meme.
You couldn't go anywhere unless you were raiding. And for a lot of solo players, that was a problem because it's like, I feel like I'm being punished for not being able to do it.
Bad RNG.
And then you get to Destiny 2, and it's the complete opposite, where you don't need to do the raids to do all the pinnacle stuff. You can literally do everything. You can do your weekly strikes, your weekly crucible, your weekly gambits, everything else that came with it, and you can still stay the same par course as everybody else who might be raiding 3-4 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
Probably is a lot better this way.
Yeah, I mean, it is, but I just feel like there's so much more grind that's being added to this game. And I get it. You want the people to play this game for longer than 30 minutes at a time. Because, you know, with my experience with Final Fantasy 14, I'll log in, do a couple missions, I log out. There's 20 minutes of my day. I feel confident. I feel good. I move on to something else. Bungie with Destiny. They want people to sit down and play this game for hours on end. But it's also not so forgiving, I feel like, when they're adding so many layers, so many walls to it, where it's just like, I'm getting so frustrated because I've literally done the same mission 14 times in a row. I still haven't gotten the weapon that I was promised I would get because maybe that's bugged. And I've literally only gained a plus one in my power level. And that's where things get a little frustrating, especially on the more casual side. And I consider myself to be more casual than hardcore. And that's where it always gets to me, is just like, do I really want to invest all this time to not make any progress in my experience bar?
It's very true.
Yeah. Bungie needs to do a better job of catering to both the people with low amounts of time and giving them making them feel like the hour they spend in the game a day is like doing something, but then also giving the people who play a fuck ton stuff to grind for and stuff to go for, you know. Those end up might being longer term goals for like some of the other people, but they need to figure out a balance.
No,
definitely. Imagine like the seasonal weapon, the seasonal fusion rifle, right? Imagine there you can do an option for like the standard one, or you do one that's like master level, but you get an adept version. I think something like that could be pretty interesting. Like, it's like, okay, I don't want to do that entire grind, so I'll just take the standard one. Or for, you know, the hardcore ones, they'll probably go for the adept one. That's probably going to take them a lot longer. I don't know. I feel like something like that would be really interesting.
That's not... I mean, I'm here for it because at least it gives me a sense of accomplishment of, like you said, I don't want to spend 15 hours doing this stupid thing, so just give me the base one. I'm happy. Cool. It's done.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of people who, you know, spend, I don't know, 15 plus hours a week playing this game that would be really happy with a long grind. I mean, I'm sure they'd complain about it, but once they finally get it, you know, that's when the accomplishment will sink in.
I think the problem is, though, that you're still going to run into the same issue with casual players complaining that they don't have time to get everything. Even if it's the same thing, it's like, I mean, part of it does come down to Bungie, part of it comes down to the player base. With something like an adept version of like that fusion rifle, I would kind of be all for that idea. I feel like it's a good idea, but there would absolutely still be some people who are like, you know, well, why do I get an inferior version of a weapon because I can't play as much as they do?
Like, I mean, it's the same thing with Master Nightfall or Grandmaster Nightfall. Is that it's like I don't even attempt it because I can't. I just don't have the skill to do it. So, I mean, I'm just settling for the regular version. I think it's kind of on the same plane.
That's a good point. You know, like, I feel like a lot of the people who, you know, want, like, these, like, Igneous Hammer, a lot of people did settle for the normal version and not the Adept version. And grinding out the Adept version. That was safe for the super hardcore PvP people.
The Sweatlords.
Yeah.
Well, I think a good example, too, are the Master, what do you call them? The loot sectors, or the lost sectors,
the lost sectors,
versions of them, because you can do them by yourself and they are somewhat of a challenge, but they are doable, you know, with the right loadout and all that stuff. You do them by yourself, you have a better chance at getting the newest exotic armor pieces in the game.
That's the only way to get them.
That's the only way to do it. Yeah, it says it's still rare and I'm still kind of one for one in this case, so to me it's 100%. I don't know if anyone else has different experiences, but the point I'm getting at is you have an option of, hey, here's this end game-ish type content. You can do it by yourself. It presents a great challenge. If you do it, the loot is much, much better. Much better in that this is the only way you can get certain items. You want to bring a fire team in there? Great. It's still going to be worth your while because you're still going to get the enhancement prisms and some other stuff to go with it. So I think that's another great way of just making, you know, adjusting the challenge based on who wants to do it.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably the best example of like one of the things Bungie has done is like they've given the people the ability to grow, like, you know, it's not like a super targeted grind since you're not picking the exotic, but even 10, just being able minutes. To pick being able to pick the slot. Well, some people have those, like I was watching a speed run which not everyone can do speedruns, obviously, but I guess it was the Lost Sector from, like, yesterday. And someone was beating it in, like, 50 seconds.
What?
it was absurd. I'll link it to you guys later.
That's crazy.
No, he was actually using, what's it called? Black Talon.
Black Talon was wrecking? Wow.
All things. Yeah, he was using Black Talon. Yeah, no, I think that that's a good example of something Bungie can do. And it's like people who with smaller investments in of time can do it, and they can get the new exotic within hopefully a few runs, depending on their luck, you know. Well, but then people who really want to grind these things, it's like it gives them an outlet to just spend like a few hours in there attempting to get exotics of like legs or arms or something. And I think that's a really good example.
I'm just thinking to the last time I really like grinded Lost Sectors for something. I wanted the last season's gloves. The I can't remember what they are for the Warlock.
Necrotic Grip? Was that last season?
Yeah, Necrotic Grip. Or it might have been the season before, but I waited an extra season because like I wasn't going to do it at that time. It took me, I think, 15 attempts. My buddy was also going for something, and he got it in like 2 tries. Yep. And I just kept on going time after time after time. It's just so funny how RNG works. But, you know, once you get it, it's, again, I keep on saying it, but it's that feeling of accomplishment. I don't mind putting in the work if eventually I can get what I'm going for.
Yeah, and I don't think the drop rates on those are so absurdly low that it's like that, you know, people can complain. If they want to complain, they can do the higher tier one.
And I feel like Bungie's done a better job with the RNG drops, especially when it comes to exotics. You think about the raids the last couple of years, how they made it to where if you complete a raid and you don't get the respective exotic that comes with it, your odds increase just a little bit. And they kept doing it. So,
oh boy, that's an interesting point you bring up, because people are still complaining about Deepstone Crypt clears and them not having the Eyes of Tomorrow,
which I find hilarious because our entire group got it within 10 clears. I want to say,
I think we're just absurdly lucky for one.
Sounds two, like it.
Well, Ahmad has what, three?
How many did Ahmad get? Like 5?
I think he's only. Does Ahmad actually have Eyes of Tomorrow yet?
Either he might have been one of the last ones. I know George got his before Ahmad, and he was
a holdout dude.
Yeah,
for sure.
I was definitely the first one in our group to get it, and I think it was only like on our third clear, maybe. Like it didn't take very long, but I definitely feel like it only took us 10 or so clears before everybody had gotten it in our group.
Yeah,
but on the flip side, again, Ahmad got 1K voices how many times before some of us even got our first? So, yeah.
Yeah, no, like, yeah, people always complain because they don't have the thing and they've been running it forever. The thing that does, I think, make their claims valid is that they don't have it yet, but now people are going to be a lot less incentivized to run it because that they've removed the pinnacle drop from it. So I think that's a super valid complaint that people have.
Definitely something that Bungie should consider changing. I agree that
it's like it's the first year of this raid. It came out with this expansion, and it's already not like. I mean, the gear's still good.
It's already
people
irrelevant.
Still grind it for the gear itself.
I wish I knew.
But you know, like it feels just real way too quick, way too soon. You know, for it to. Like, I would understand if Witch Queen came out and then, like, they had removed it and, like, well, not removed it, but, you know, made it not pinnacle drops anymore. It's like, okay, that's fine. That's whatever, you know? It's Witch Queen time. But it to me, it feels absurd that it's, like, you know, it's still recent. It came out, like, 2 seasons ago.
So,
like, not even 6 months old, and, like, already it's, like, not worth running for power drops.
Quick poll.
But some of this other crazy. Random shit is.
Quick poll for the both of you before we move into the next topic about stasis and how it's great in PvE and terrible in PvP, which is an ongoing thread. Do you feel like in the future that raids should be like strikes and that your first raid completion of the week is a guaranteed pinnacle drop? Or do you feel like it should just be it's dedicated? So this next season, Vault of Glass is going to be the pinnacle. Or could it just be every raid? You complete it once, it's a pinnacle for that week, giving you so many more opportunities to get that stuff.
Kind of like doing a raid can get, like, your first raid of the week gives you a pinnacle.
No matter what it is.
Yeah, I think that would be fair.
I like that idea, but the problem I see with that idea is then people would always go for the easiest rate. If this was a thing way back when, I guarantee you people would have been scourged of the past every single time.
It's that rate is difficult. Hard for some people.
It is 100%, but objectively still a pretty dang easy raid compared to something like Last Wish. So
that would be interesting. But I mean, I think you can spruce it up, because if you just say, hey, this week's featured raid is the Last Wish raid, everyone's guaranteed a pinnacle drop. If you do
that, I think they are going to do that eventually, where they start doing weekly featured raids. I think it's going to be part of the really long season,
which I think is the right way to do it. But like I said, it needs to be one or the other. I like the idea of the first raid you complete is a guaranteed pinnacle, no matter which one it is. But if it's on a rotating schedule where every single week this one gives you maybe not double pinnacles, but just extra rewards or extra drops or something that makes me think, oh, hey, Last Wish is the featured raid for this week. Let's all go do that one because we can get our pinnacle and extra loot. It'll encourage people to start, you know, rotating around versus, like you suggested, doing the same raid over and over again.
I like the idea of double rewards for raids, because I know they've been doing that for Nightfalls in the last mm-hmm. season. That might get people to start doing raids more often.
Yeah, no, I agree. But just to clarify something, Steven, you know, when you like when a raid is like the pinnacle drop, every single encounter does give you a pinnacle reward.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so, wow. That's why they were so good. And I think that's why people are so upset that they aren't. That's a lot anymore.
It's that pinnacles.
Yeah, that's like that. That's four encounters worth of pinnacles. That's literally four pinnacles, which is probably like an extra 50% to what we have now. You know,
that's a fair point. So maybe I should clarify on it. On your first complete, you know, four encounters, your first complete raid, they're all guaranteed pinnacles. After that, maybe it's just powerful or it's just at light level, whatever the case is. But again, just some incentive for people to want to do those raids on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. So yeah, maybe it is double pinnacle drops every single encounter, or just maybe you get extra loot, whatever the case is, you know, maybe the odds mm-hmm. are a little bit more increased with that particular exotic on something. Cause I'm with you. If it was just a matter of complete one raid, get all the pinnacles and you're done, then yes, yeah, Scourge of the Past would absolutely be the one. And honestly, Deepstone Crypt is not super difficult now. We've got that down to 30-40 minutes complete time.
Deepstone Crypt would not be far behind.
Yeah.
I like the idea of a weekly rotating one where it's like this week the pinnacle raid is
just Deepstone Crypt. Nightfalls.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. I'm here for it. One thing I'm not here for is stasis in PvP. It's the why can't you be normal child screaming in the backseat sort of situation. So mm-hmm. yeah, I need to do Crucible for my weekly stuff, but I also am always dreading joining Crucible because of how stasis just completely borks everything. And this time it's the new aspects, which by the way, if you had memory fragments saved in your vault, pull those and you can cash them in. I got three of the new aspects done in literally 10 seconds.
Fragments. Those are fragments. Sorry, not to be pedantic.
I said memory fragments, didn't I?
You said to get three of the new aspects.
Oh.
Aspects are the big things that are class-specific. Fragments are the little ones that you slot in below.
What I meant was the memory fragments that you turn into Elsie that turns into all that stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
The consumables.
Yes. So the ones that are non-class-specific and like you can use to super customize. Well, not super customize, but kind of customize.
Well, it's super customized.
Some of them are pretty fun.
Yeah. Specifically PvP, have you guys seen the new hunter grenades from their new aspect?
No.
They're kind of fucking absurd. It like almost like increases the size of what's it called? Fairly dramatically, the glacier grenade for one, like the big circular one.
Wall.
Increases the size of that pretty crazy big. It turns the wall into a circle instead, which I don't think is as big of a deal.
Interesting.
But the one that like gets me is like the fucking cold snap one. You guys got to look up videos of what that looks like.
Oh, God.
If you want to see bullshit, that one is utter bullshit. Basically, you know how like the cold snap would like track to someone and then freeze them and then track to another person, maybe? Mm-hmm. I saw a video, I think it was with ZK Mushroom's channel. He put down a cold snap. For one, it already tracks farther. It will travel a significant further distance compared to what it did before. Two, it will actually catch people slightly higher in the air.
Oh, great.
than before. So it's like it makes jumping away from them a much less viable option. Three,
oh my God.
It will now track to an extra person. There's like a video of him. I forget the map, but you'll recognize it where it's
I'm watching the video you're talking about. That went so far.
It's absurd.
Wow.
It's.
You know what's funny though? It's like at this point, I don't mind stasis as much. I'm just kind of used to it. You know, it's like I will play. I know it's like, you know, I kind of love it now. No, I accepted it. It's like I'll play Crucible, you know, just for fun, whatever, and hope that I have an okay time. I'll play Trials sometimes. And I'll play Iron Banner, but it's like, I think, honestly, I still think sliding shotgunners are more terrible for me than
stasis.
I got killed by, there was somebody, they were middle of the pack today on their team, and they must have killed me 10 times sliding in and shotgunning me in the face. I think they had like 15 kills total. So I got killed by stasis like 3 times that entire map. So I don't know. I just think that there's still other things that people can use beyond stasis that are just as bad, if not worse. So I'm on the opinion that I don't really care too much about stasis one way or the other.
Yeah. Well, it's also the fact that stasis has been slowly getting reined in, which I think is a good thing, and it's definitely still overtuned. But to me, it's like the fact that this new hunter thing, it's like all the stuff we complained about stasis before, and it's like they finally brought it back, and then they put in this fucking hunter thing where it makes their grenades absurd again.
I'm watching the ice wall one, the circle ice wall. It just kind of like traps him in there. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's funny. That one doesn't seem OP. I'm more concerned about the cults, but it's like we just got to the point where it's like, you know, like where we were finally getting stasis in tuned and in line, and then they put this shit in, and it's like, well, okay, well, I guess we're back to square fucking one.
What was the point of reining it in before?
Well, like it was to rein it in. Because you imagine if they hadn't reined it in at all, and then they released all of this bullshit into the world.
I mean, you can argue it's still not completely reined in,
no,
to be quite honest.
No, but I still, even before this new things came out, like, it was definitely doing better, but it was still 100% overtuned. Like, it needed nerfs even before these new aspects came out, and it's like, these new aspects, it's like, it just feels like we got a couple steps forward and then a couple steps back. Well, several steps back with this new hunter thing. Like, we were finally going in the right direction, and they're like, no, we like that other direction more.
This is nice. I prefer this, though.
Mm-hmm. That said, the Titan and the Warlock one, I haven't really seen much use for them in PvP, so maybe I'll eat these words later, but they don't seem OP at all for PvP.
Warlock. I have the new Warlock one, and I don't even remember what it does. I think it's that unimportant.
When you freeze them, it puts little crystals out.
Oh, yeah.
That regenerate melee energy.
I mean, that's fine. It's like, what's the other one? The Bleaker or whatever it is?
The little turret?
It's currently, yeah, it's down right now. That's the one I did use because it was really cool. Although in PvP, it didn't seem to matter much unless you stood there and took like 4 or 5 of those hits. That would finally freeze you. But otherwise, it just kind of slightly slowed you.
That's the thing is, like, I don't mind it being good in PvP, or PvE rather. And we'll get to talking about the good stuff in PvE. It's just the fact that it's like they still can't seem to balance it, and they just don't seem to understand just how much people are complaining about it. Like, maybe their numbers are telling them how many people are using it, and they're equating that to people are really enjoying stasis. It's clearly a vocal minority, but it's like people are using stasis because it's good and because it's really the only good thing to use against stasis. it's like if you can't beat them, join them kind of situation, but I feel like no one's particularly happy about it.
Yeah, and everybody is using it. Like, if you play Trials, you're going to see, like, one people in, like, every 2 or 3 teams you play, one person that isn't using it.
Yeah, there's, like, a couple, there's a couple subclasses beyond Stasis that are still really viable in PvP, but for the most part, it's kind of just Stasis, man.
Yeah, it's...
I don't know.
I think this kind of goes back also to our argument that we've not argument, but our discussion that we've had the last couple of episodes of needing two different sandboxes to play in, having a PvP and a PvE sandbox where the everything is fine-tuned a little differently, because what almost always happens is all of these aspects that you're talking about in PvE, they're going to get nerfed to the point where it's now more fair, it's now more adjusted, it makes sense for the game, and it's actually, you know, fun to go in without getting frozen solid every 10 seconds by a random hunter. But then in PvE, it's going to be completely killed, and now stasis is completely unusable for some characters. It's just, I again, I'm still split in the middle. Like, I do feel like splitting the sandbox into two is the makes the best sense in that example, but it's also not as easy and cut and dry as how I just explained it. So it's a fine tune adjustment. Again, it's something that somebody much smarter than I am is going to have to figure it out. So good luck to those people. But all I know is
there's still things they can do in PvP where it's like, you know, I saw an idea on the subreddit today of where it's like they said the only thing that should freeze in PvP is a super. Every other stasis ability should just slow.
I can see that.
The one thing I don't like is every time I do get frozen, it's I either have to hold circle to break free or double tap it, or I don't do anything. Like, I get it's so inconsistent that I feel like I'm not actively being able to defend against myself. And I saw that there were some examples, and I think you even brought this up, Michael, too. Like, if I get hit with a stasis grenade, maybe, and I know they're doing a better job of it right now, where it just slows me down a little bit, which is totally fine. But maybe there's other grenades where it stops me in my tracks, but I can still move and I can still aim and shoot. You know, at least give me some way to defend myself versus making this just a complete, nope, you're solid, I'm screwed.
No, I know what you mean. Like, I think a lot of the inconsistency you are seeing is that, you know, the fact that freezes from different sources have different durations. That was part of the nerfs they did, which I think were good nerfs, but maybe slightly confusing if you're not constantly keeping up with the patch notes.
Yeah.
Where it's like, if you do the cold snap grenade, it freezes you for a bit less than 2 seconds. But if you do, if you get frozen via like the glacier wall, you're frozen for almost 5 seconds, and then that's the one where you need to break out. But the other ones, like, you literally can't break out quicker than it would just break you out automatically, which is just it, I feel like that can be confusing for people.
Very much so. But I mean, stasis is fun in PvE, so that's cool.
It's great in PvE. It's super fun there.
I got real no complaints about it there. I honestly haven't used it too much in PvE. I've been using some of my other stuff, but yeah, I mean, again, stasis is amazing and so much fun to use when you're not playing against other people.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you 100%. Like, I don't know what the solution is, and I'm sure Bungie will get to it right before Witch Queen.
I believe that.
And then whatever the darkness subclass from Witch Queen is will come out and be incredibly busted.
I can't wait for it. I hope it's like the I hope it's going to be kind of like the thorn in the necrotic grip, like something like that, just like a poison subclass. I think that'd be a lot of fun. I don't know what specifically they would do with it, but I'm looking forward to it either way. One last thing for the stasis. Have you used the new sidearm? I don't remember the name of it, the CS-77 or whatever. Have you used that at all in PvP?
Grausthesia?
Yeah, that's the one.
I haven't. I've seen clips of it, and the only PvP I've played so far has been Team Scorched.
Well, I've been using it a little bit the last couple days. I mean, you know, it's a sidearm, so obviously it doesn't have like a super long range, but I've been getting some kills with it and then freezing some people. The freeze on that is actually pretty slow. I think once you get the catalyst, that's going to be a different story, potentially. But like if you freeze somebody, you're going to have to switch to your sidearm or your secondary gun right away and take care of them. Otherwise, like if you go try and melee them or like reload your pistol, they're going to get out of that thing right away. So that is pretty interesting. I don't think that's going to make a lot of people too upset. I think a lot of people were worried, but yeah. I think it's kind of unfounded at this point.
You gotta be pretty accurate with it too, I believe.
Yeah, it's you can't just like shoot the ground like a few feet to, you know, the right or the left of them and get them. You have to dead on hit them somewhere.
It
has to hit them,
and it doesn't really have as much tracking as I think people thought it would.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I think I could see people like, you know, being like learning to be really good with it, but I think that's going to be more of a niche thing.
Hmm.
I wouldn't be too worried about it. I don't think that's going to make the whole stasis thing worse. I think there's going to be a lot of other guns that people would rather use. It does seem like it. I am really looking forward to seeing how it with the catalyst, how that does in PvE though. Because that's where I'm going to use it if I end up using it at all. Because PvP, it's just, I don't know, I just get an auto rifle and like a scout rifle, and I think that's pretty much what I'll do.
I'm not a sidearm person. You know?
I want to like them. I do. But I just, I don't know.
On paper, they sound so good, and then I use them, and I'm like, this is garbage.
It's like the Traveler's Chosen. I was really looking forward to that, and then...
Yeah. On paper, it sounds amazing. If that had been a hand cannon or like an auto rifle or an SMG or something with that exact same exotic thing, holy hell, people would still be using it. But it's like, sidearms just feel so awkward. But I think it's a good thing that they do, because then it gives Bungie a way to put super busted effects on guns without it becoming, you know, like super meta, because people just don't like sidearms. Sidearms are inherently just awkward, I feel like.
Yeah, the only time I use a sidearm is when I have bounties for it, and then after that I just... back to the vault it goes.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I think we spent a good amount of time talking about the bad. As far as the good, you know, huh? Like the subreddit and the community, I think, tends to focus a lot on the bad, you know, for most of the times very justified reason. In this case, I feel like there's a lot of good in the season as well that's just getting very much overshadowed as a result of all of the bad. But... you know, I want to give Bungie some props on some of the stuff they did. You know, we've just been talking a lot about stasis and PvP, but stasis and PvE, that new Titan aspect is fucking awesome.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
It's so good. Like, I'll throw down a glacial grenade, put up the wall, freeze something, slide through it. As I'm sliding through it, I'll pick up the spear and then just slam the spear down to enemies behind the wall who have already been damaged a bit by the wall. And it's been fucking fun.
Does it freeze them when you hit them with it?
It does. The Titan Spear, it has two things. You can throw it like a Rasputin javelin. When you do that, it's like a 2-second freeze. Or you can slam it down into the ground, almost like one of those hive swords, but more of like a circle AoE. Yeah. And then that does like a 5-second freeze. And it's been fucking fun.
I picked one up and threw it. I missed, unfortunately, but I've seen it like once. I really want
to
use it.
The cool thing too is it's like you don't have to be a Titan. Like, I could make them for people, and then you can just pick one up and use it. It's like, it's such a cool, fun team play thing.
Well, it's like they started that with the trace rifle, maybe in Season of Arrivals, I think it was. I can't remember the name of it, but you shoot him with the trace rifle, and then it makes the ball, then you can pick it up and just...
Ruinous Effigy.
Yeah, I loved that gun for like 2 months. Mm-hmm. That was really
fun. Until they nerfed it to the ground, because it was apparently too overpowered. Everyone was using it.
Yeah, right?
And Michael, if you remember, like, one of the big things that you, George, and I discussed was just having different ways and different elements to play the game with. This new aspect that you're talking about is a fresh new way to play the game. You being able to throw a stasis grenade with a spear spawning at the spot, me being able to pick it up and toss it at an enemy, that's a new creative and inventive way to do something that we've been doing for thousands of hours in this game. And I really appreciate that level of creativity from the development team, and I'm very jealous that we as Warlocks don't get that exact grenade, but I'm just excited for the fact that it's something new and fresh, and I would love for that concept to continue to get expanded on in the future.
Mm-hmm. Warlocks got that sick-ass turret, though, which they got last season. So there's this season.
We did have that.
Yeah, it'll come back. But yeah, like, yeah, I'm all about it. It's like, it's such interesting team play, and like, it's fun for solo play too, letting you chain a lot more stasis stuff together. Like, a lot of my issues with stasis before where it's like, it's fun, but it feels like I do like my ability, like my grenade, my melee, and then it's like I have to just wait for like a minute to do anything stasis again. And now it's like with this new thing, you know, if other people are freezing enemies and then I kill them, I spawn the spear. So it's like, the more people are using stasis to me now, it's like the more fun it is and the more everything just gels together. And it's like, it becomes a really fun PvE experience for some of these like bigger activities. I know you weren't hyped on it, Bobby, but I actually kind of really like the new Warlock one in terms of spawning those little crystals and all the new fragments that they added that work with those crystals, give them extra energy, let them do other things, let them track towards you. I feel like that's also a really good form of team play because you're spawning those for other people. I mean, it's just ability energy and it's less exciting, you know, comparatively. But if you had a fire team, like we went into a raid all stasis and we were all rocking our stasis respective classes that generate those things, we would be able to ability spam so fucking much.
That's a good point.
So it's like, I feel like they're like the complete picture of stasis is starting to form and it's like, damn, this is really kind of cool. Like Bungie clearly put a lot of thought and effort into how all this works and how it all gels together with the PvE side, at least. I mean, PvP, it's like, they come on, you should have seen that shit coming. But PvE, I feel like they've knocked it out of the park with stasis, and especially with the shit this season.
And that's the thing.
No,
go ahead, Bobby, you first.
I was going to say, I think the reason I'm not very jazzed on it yet, or like anything necessarily from like last season with like the aspects, is because I haven't been able to do a raid. Like, you know, I raided before last season with you guys, or I guess before Beyond Light. Then you guys all moved to PC, which I don't do PC.
Sorry.
So it's my fault. But I'm very excited for crossplay because then I can start synergizing with you guys, and I think I can start to see the benefits more than just in strikes and stuff like that, where it's like I don't necessarily see the benefit as much because you roll through a strike pretty quickly, you know, being higher level. So, but something challenging like a raid, I could definitely see that being pretty fun.
Yeah, like there's a lot of like good aspects of stasis for like the higher level content, like you said. When you're like plowing through a strike, it's like it's almost better to just run something that does damage instead of freezing. But I know people love that Warlock turret for the Grandmaster Nightfalls because it just constantly freezes stuff.
Oh, it's super helpful. Like PvE is where that thing shines. Obviously, it's like I think I ran with stasis purely for that because I hate the Warlock super. Like it's like the first couple times I used it, I was pretty excited, but you know I'd rather have one of the other ones. Like that tornado that the hunters have looks pretty fun, but it's that turret, man. That turret really kept me using stasis.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like, I feel like, I don't know if hunters had got theirs with Shatter Dive, but I feel like every class is going to get something cool to do with stasis that's beyond like a normal ability. Like, Warlocks get their little turret. Titans get their, you know, their spear now. Hunters got their really cool Shatter Dive. But I don't know if they're gonna get like some sort of extra external ability, like they're gonna be able to like spawn like a stasis trap or something where they throw something on the ground and then like waits for an enemy to walk over it or something and then it spawns a big crystal. I'm curious. That actually sounds kind of cool. Like I just thought of that right now. But like I feel like I'm curious if hunters are gonna get some new interesting way to play with stasis with the final aspect that's coming out next season. I've been all hyped for stasis. Beyond stasis, so the other fun stuff this season, that new six-man activity, how y'all liking that?
Been a lot of fun. I've always enjoyed, like, you know, three-man activities, four-man activities, they're fine, but I love getting like all those enemies against you and, you know, having six people to try and get everything done. It's super easy so far. So I'm waiting for like the hard mode version, but like it's just kind of a blast. It's like I think the Battlegrounds last season was kind of a precursor to that because it was still three man, but they had so many enemies in those activities that makes it so much more fun that you're kind of like fighting for your life, like jumping around just trying to find a safe spot for just a second. I think that's a lot better than like, let's say, like a strike where you just know where the enemies are going to spawn, you run to the next area, etc.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I mean, there's a little bit of variability in these, but I think, yeah, there's just something about being six-man PvE that we haven't had. I know someone, I think we talked about it last episode, we haven't had one in a while, and it's like, it's really fun to just...
Since the Sundial.
More enemies, more allies. Yeah, it's like, I mean, you can kind of tell when, like, some of your teammates may not be killing as many things, but, you know, at the same time, it's like, then it gives you room to, you know, kill more things and, you know, be that hero player. But my groups, for the most part, have been pretty good. Plus, I think the reward system is pretty, like, it's a definite improvement on Season of the Chosen with the hammer. Like, I feel like it makes way more sense this season.
I like get loot no matter what. If you have the key is, the currency for this particular...
It's easy to get compared to last season.
The ether,
fucking
yeah.
Fucking easy.
It's very easy to get it, but even if you don't have it, there's two chests at the end of it. So those who haven't played Override yet, you go through it. It only takes, I would say, what, 10 minutes? 15 minutes?
There's a triumph for doing it under 12. So which, roughly
I've gotten it
12,
most
15.
Times. Yeah, which, I've already done it 10 yeah. times, I think.
I've
under 10,
that a
12
times
minutes.
Already too. But yeah, so it's fairly straightforward. It's basic gamut at the beginning. You dump the motes in. You go into the Vex network. You defeat the Vex boss. And your loot pool, you have two chests. One of them, if you have the ether and you slot it in your seasonal, not the artifact, but the
Splicer glove.
Yeah, the Splicer item. You load into that, you get seasonal loot from that. If you don't have that, not to worry. There's just a regular chest right there. You get regular boring Vanguard stuff out of it. At least that's mostly what I've gotten from it. But yeah. You still get loot. And I feel like that's a huge improvement over doing a Battlegrounds and shit. I don't have any Cabal gold, and I can't get anything out of this now. So I love that addition.
Yeah,
you don't have to run six strikes in a row just to be able to do one one thing.
Yeah, and you get fuck tons of ether just from doing random activities. Like, I was constantly capped on ether and key codes. Like, I legitimately did, I think it was 8 overrides, like, almost in a row, like, over a couple play sessions, but, like, just override after override after override just to get rid of all of my ether and key codes. And it was just kind of fucking absurd how like long that took. But also, it's like the fact that it's like I had only done a few other activities to just get all of that thing, so it's like, you know,
I think
it's not
I did Gambit it. And I got like 47 ether or something like that.
Yeah, plus the
you get
from killing enemies
quickly.
Yeah, so it's like one Gambit game equals one run of that, and it's like you can get loot. Yeah, I also want to give a shout out to Bungie for the not time gating the upgrades. So last season, it's like all of the upgrade materials for the war table were based off seasonal challenges. This time you get that same currency just from completing the override. So it's like, I guarantee you by the end of this weekend, if not already, there are some people who are probably maxed out their Splicer Gauntlet and with all the upgrades.
You know what I wonder about that? I think I've done 4, maybe 5 upgrades. I haven't been able to get to the second level yet, and I don't know if it's because I think I've had enough.
The second level ones cost more.
I thought I had enough, but maybe I just didn't take a look at the difference. Oh, that much? Okay. Well, that makes sense then.
It's an absurd one. But, fun fact, Bobby, so a couple tips I wanted to mention. One, there's one particular upgrade that's not really clear. I saw this one on the subreddit where it says increases rewards gained at the end from the chest. It's referring to the currency you get to upgrade. So the thing you want to make sure you upgrade first on your gauntlet, what's it called? Override efficiency. It just says override chests have increased rewards.
I think I got that one today. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like that one actually increases the amount of like the currency you need to upgrade. I think it's like you get 30 normally, then with one upgrade it goes up to 35, with two upgrades it goes up to 45, and with the third upgrade it goes up to 55, which makes getting all of the other upgrades way quicker.
Right.
Although people will end up getting them anyway just from the seasonal pass stuff. But fun fact, there's also another way to get the override things. I saw this in a comment on the subreddit as well. But as you're doing the activity, you know how that little portal opens up in the first moat collecting part?
Yeah.
And people can go in and they can kill like a champion in there, and then they are able to get what's it called? Like the data spike or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
If you have if you do that three times and a different guardian deposits it in the middle thing every time, which you should be doing anyway because it's a really good chunk of progress towards completing the objective, but if you do that three times with three different guardians in the boss room, like some sort of anomaly enemy will spawn, and when you kill that, it gives you 25 of the currency.
I was wondering about that because I've seen it in a few matches, but I was like, why isn't this here every time? And I had no idea what triggered that.
Exactly. It's something like you kind of have to coordinate. Like my strategy has just been to go in and try and get the first one done and then trust that the same person's not going to get the remaining two.
Yeah.
I've only gotten it to appear a couple of times. You know, I think it'll start becoming more common as word spreads about it, but I thought that was kind of cool. And that's like 25 of that.
Man, that's
an extra every run. If you can start getting it every run, like if we started three manning it, you know, we could get it every time because we have three people.
And even if we didn't get it each of the three times, somebody else obviously will.
Exactly.
So yeah. There you go.
Yeah. So it's like you end up like 25 a run, will really start to add up, you know,
yeah. Just
like the over four runs, that's like a free extra tier one upgrade in the first column, you know, like, it'll really end like start adding up. But like, if you think about it, you're only getting 55 from completing it anyway, after you get that whole thing done, then an extra 25 on top of that, that's some progress. So I'm kind of all, I like that reward structure where it's like, you know, you have to do something in like a community thing where you have to figure it out. I don't know. Some people are probably going to be annoyed with the fact that, you know, there's definitely going to be people out there who just never learn.
I mean, it's public events. Making it heroic.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, same,
literally
same
exactly
problem for
that,
years.
Yes.
I love when Bungie just releases things like that and doesn't say anything about it. And I love the whole aspect of the community coming together to figuring it out. Or because I saw a post earlier today, and I guess it was answered, about somebody mentioning they saw an extra enemy show up at the end, just like you explained, Michael. They didn't know how, they didn't know why, and they were trying to figure it out. Sounds like we've gotten the answer to it, which is awesome. So now everybody who's listening to this and everyone that we tell is going to figure that out. Just like you said, Bobby, it's like the heroic public events. It's just, it's going to take time for everybody to make this
realize what they're doing.
Exactly. But yeah. I do love so much how Bungie just said, like, yeah, we have this whole thing that's in here, this new mechanic essentially that's in here. We're not going to explain to you how to make it work. You guys have to figure it out. And then once you do it, it's just the community kind of has this sense of shit. Yeah, we did it. Like, we figured something out. We're amazing. Mm-hmm. We're Hacker Man type of situation.
Yeah. Well, and then beyond that, it's like, it becomes more of like a helping the new person kind of thing, you know, where it's like someone's new to the activity or someone's new to your clan, or you met someone new in the game and you like talk about it to them. They're like, oh, I never knew that. I feel like, you know, in addition, like it just helps build up the community aspect beyond the initial activity.
Mm-hmm. It's teamwork, you know, it's like one person, I mean, they can, but, you know, you try and make it so one person doesn't do everything.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, no, I'm kind of all about it. I'm a big fan of that. Yeah, another random little quick tip. I saw this in an Aztecross video. Always like to cite my sources when I can remember them. but so that, you know, the new cryo sidearm? Some people who have already gotten like the catalyst and are working on it, they've run into a really hilarious bug, which again, Bungie, please hire me for QA, I swear to God. but the bug that they've run into is kills with the sidearm do not progress the progress of the catalyst. But kills with whatever weapon is in your energy slot will. Because it's just coded that it's like it's tracking energy kills, and the sidearm is technically in the kinetic slot. Now how no one caught that in QA, I would very much like to know. But there's like a video of Aztecross literally in the thrallway in the dungeon in the Dreaming City, where he's just shooting things with the gnawing hunger, and it's like it's his catalyst objective complete. It just pops up. It's like, this is the dumbest fucking
thing. Take advantage
thing.
Of it while you can.
Yeah, I mean, objectively, it's probably a lot easier to do it when you have a gun with subsistence.
Yeah, makes sense. You know what's weird about this gun? I have been using it. I got the the first week seasonal challenge done with it, like using that in Override or Sidearms in Override.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm going up against shielded enemies, I feel like this thing is like, it's almost like an energy weapon because it's taking down their shields in like one or two hits.
I think it technically is an energy weapon. Just in the kinetic
spot. That's
what
it seems like. Yeah.
It's got the little symbol next to it.
So we had this a lot in Destiny 1, and add one more to the counter because Vex Mythoclass was this exact same way, but there were weapons that you can put in the kinetic slot that, or the primary slot, I should say, that were energy weapons. So this is kind of going back to that. And I think it's definitely a precursor because, like I said, Vex Mythoclass was a weapon. It was a primary weapon, but it also had solar energy to it. So you could be running three energy weapons in a sense, your primary, your secondary, and your heavy.
Get all three covered.
Hell yeah.
You know what that makes me think? I wonder if, I mean, they may have already done it by now, but I wonder if maybe they might start having enemies that are, that have the energy shield of stasis, you know, instead of solar or void or arc. I wonder if that's something that they'll put in the game eventually.
I bet next season.
I would bet next season, yeah.
In the lead up to the Witch Queen, and they've also said we're getting stasis legendary weapons next season. So it only makes sense.
I'd love an auto rifle. I don't know how it would work, but I want an auto rifle that has stasis powers.
I hope we get one of every type, to be honest with you. It would feel really sad for like certain weapons to just not have a representative in stasis yet. At least archetypes. It doesn't have to be every like RPM, obviously, but
I mean, if you're gonna have that's a good point. If you're going to have enemies that have stasis overshields or of any sort or any frequency, you're going to need a large variety of stasis weapons. Yeah,
or close to it.
Because right now, all we have is an exotic stasis sidearm in the primary
grenade
slot.
Launcher.
And the grenade launcher. And if we're going to battle with those two, like, we're screwed. And obviously, you have your obviously, stasis itself as a subclass could work in those scenarios, but you just need more variety.
Yeah.
But yes, agreed. Bobby, I'm with 100%. You. I would love a stasis auto rifle because auto rifles are
so cool.
My jam.
The best.
I'm kind of sad the Europa weapons weren't all stasis weapons.
That would have been a very smart idea.
I like a lot of them, and I feel like it would have been good stasis. But also this whole stasis thing in the kinetic slot really just makes so much sense to me. Like I was wondering this whole time how they were going to pull off, you know, having eventually six elements of, you know, guns and how do you fit all of that in your inventory? And it's like, well, duh, just put the darkness ones in the kinetic slot and the light ones in the energy slot. And it's like, oh my God, suddenly it all makes sense. It's like now we can actually carry a lot of these things. That said, Bungie, still please increase my inventory size. I don't just mean vault.
Oh God. Yeah.
Yeah. No, like I think it's a cool way to do it, you know? So now it's like you can run a stasis thing. You can run a kinetic thing. Well, you can't run stasis and kinetic, but you can run stasis and energy weapon at the same time.
I mean, I think that would give a lot more viability to this to the Cryosthesia 77K. I think that would make people use it a lot more if enemy types started coming up where you needed to use it. Yeah. And I don't think that's a bad idea on Bungie's end.
No, I think people are going to use it. Like, I actually want to try it. Because it provides a very reliable way to freeze enemies, and that can set off like stasis things. Like, it gives me a way outside of my abilities to freeze an enemy, slide into them, and then make one of those spears. You know?
Yeah. No, that's a good call.
So it's like, I love those fucking spears. So, I think people will like that stuff. I'm just hoping Bungie is conservative with some of the other stasis exotic weapons that they do. Please keep PvP.
Yeah, don't make it too OP.
Well, it's no matter what, PvP is just going to be a shit show right off the bat. There's going to be a couple of hot fixes, and somehow warlocks are going to suffer through all this. So thanks, Michael.
Well, you know who's not suffering though? Titans. That new Titans
never do.
Leg piece. Have you seen that new Titan leg piece? You see the video I posted earlier?
I don't want to talk about it.
It's even if it was just purely anti-stasis, which it is, it's absurd how good it is. But then the fact that like solar kills can sometimes get you a damage buff.
Like, oh, wow.
Oh, my. Like, it turns Igneous Hammer, Fell Winters, other random popular solar guns for PvP. It turns all of them way better.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I can't even imagine trials now.
So, Igneous Hammer, it's like, I have an Igneous Hammer with Rampage. I can get two taps from the Rampage. If I get a solar kill, which also Igneous does, I can get two taps from that. Buff lasts 10 seconds, by the way, which is twice as long as a Rampage with Rampage spec. Which it doesn't proc 100% of the time. It's like a chance to get it, which is a little annoying. But
that's pretty odd.
But like it's like a stacking buff. I think, I don't know if anyone's done the math on it yet, but I think with the stack of Rampage as well as the buff all fully stacked up to four, I think it might one head, one body.
Jeez.
That's pretty ridiculous. You know, that's, yeah, oh man.
And in addition, it would be good for that alone, but the fact that it also hard counters stasis, I encourage you guys to go look up some of the videos about it where it's like, there's a video, I think, of Astacross getting hit with Hunter Shurikens without it, and he gets slowed to 40 and it lasts a few seconds. With it, he gets slowed to 20 and it only lasts like 1 second.
Wow.
So, also, when you get hit with stasis of any freeze or slow, it procs it and gives you a damage buff. Sorry, that's one of the biggest parts of it, where it's like, if someone even hits you with a fucking shuriken, they've given you a two-tapping hand cannon.
Wow.
So, I do want to wrap this up shortly, just because we're coming up to about an hour of record time, but what you mentioned, Michael, just brought up a really interesting thought, and I want to get your thought, both of your thoughts and opinions on this. So, you basically explained a very specific loadout for Titans and essentially how if a very specific loadout on a Hunter were to come at you, you basically have the high ground, right? In layman's terms, following along so far?
If it's a stasis to Hunter build, yes.
Exactly. So that's the part I want to focus on right now. How do you both feel about particular exotics? So let's say there's a Warlock chess piece that says, if I get hit with a stasis grenade from a Titan or a Warlock, or I'm sorry, Titans or Hunters, I gain a buff where for the next 3 seconds, I'm not frozen.
So you're talking, making it totally class specific, though.
I'm talking about something class specific. So I'm a Warlock, I'm going to trials, but here's the catch. It only works on very specific subclasses. So let's just say, to keep it nice and simple, I have, again, exotic chess piece. It gives me a 15% damage buff against anything solar. So if I'm going in and I've got three Titans that are all running solar,
not like Hunter, Warlock, Titan specific.
Either or. I'm just trying to get, do you feel like one of those seems like a better option? Because it would be kind of interesting to have more PvP specific. And obviously you can use these in PvE as well, but I'm thinking of just exotic armor pieces that their main focus is in Crucible, in Trials, in Iron Banner, for that matter. But it's very, very specific. Maybe it's just like overall it's a pretty good chess piece, but if I'm going up against a bunch of Solar Titans, then this thing really kicks it in to next gear. If I'm going against a couple of Arc Strider Hunters, you know, it doesn't have that same luster because it's specifically meant towards these players.
I think that's too niche. I think there's so many different types of enemies with subclasses that they could be using. I mean, obviously most people are using stasis right now, but I feel like there's so many different combinations that you could go against that I feel like a lot of times it could be useless. So I'm not sure that I would want something like that.
Okay. Yeah, I don't like the idea of like anti-hunter Titan armor for like a Warlock, just because in something like Trials where it's like you're locked into these things, it's like you've just and if the other team happens to just be Titans and Hunters, it's like you've just hardcore shut down their team, and it's like they're like, you know, they're at like a significant disadvantage before the game has even begun, you know.
So
I don't like that idea.
Okay, so what if in this particular example, I get a 15% damage buff against Hunters, but if I'm against Warlocks or Titans, then I get a negative 5-10%. No. Okay.
Still hard. No. It's anything that gives you a specific advantage against a class that someone can't change. You know, like it just feels wrong to me, because it's like even then it's like you go into a game and it's all Titans and you have a 15% advantage against them. It's like Like, well, fuck.
Or what if it's a warlock's fucking... then?
Exactly.
Then
yeah.
It's completely useless. It's a risk.
It off. But no, it's not a risk because you can unequip it. The gear isn't locked in those modes. So true. I mean that's a good point.
Yeah, the gear isn't locked in. Because I'm thinking like something that would just give you almost a double or nothing type of ability, you know, where that I'm just thinking something super extreme that just
it's an interesting idea.
It almost breaks the game because of how stupid niche it is. But it sounds like it's getting a little too specific here.
Well, what I like about these Titan pants is that
pants, but okay.
Well, it's like they're anti-stasis, but they function on their own outside of that because they still have the effect that solar kills can give the damage.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like they're niche and they're anti-meta since stasis is the meta, but they're still useful outside of that. It's like if...
What about something that... what if you had something that had a benefit against each type of enemy? Maybe not a specific class, but it does something different against each enemy, like Warlock, Hunter, and Titan. I can't think of anything off the top of my head that you could do that for, but I feel like that could be an interesting, like, one of them you get 15%, like, they do, like, 15% less damage to you overall.
How about this? Something where it's, maybe it's just an exotic piece where a Titan melee does a little less damage, Hunter's ranged melee does a little less damage, and if you stand in a Warlock rift, it disables it for 2 seconds.
See, I'm still anti that because it's not something you can change mid-game. Like, with if it's like anti-stasis or anti-solar, anti-void, anti-whatever the next thing is, at the very least, like, you have a choice in the game to swap off that subclass and lose your super energy to something that's not countering you. And then there's a choice there, but it's like, for those other things, it's like, there's always going to be one that's like, you know, maybe the one against Titans is deceptively really good and Bungie didn't balance it properly.
Right, right.
So it's like, I'm always against those because it's not something you can change mid-trials game. And it would just feel so bad to me to get into a trials game, and then it's like, I'm getting hard countered because these people are running this thing, or they notice they're running a Titan at the beginning, and then they swap to that exotic piece.
I mean, I'll tell you this right now, no matter what advantage I get in trials, I'm still going to be the first person to die in my fire team. It's just...
Exactly.
Confirmed.
Yeah.
But it's like, it would still, you know, like, it would piss a lot of the hardcore PvP people off because they already hate stasis. But then to like add something where it's like they load into a whole team
they
of people
it,
who it's like are using anti-Titan gear. Well, yeah, I mean, you have to use it if you want to be competitive.
Yeah.
They just hate using it because it sucks to die to and it feels shitty to use sometimes.
That doesn't stop people from fell wintering me in the face over and over.
Exactly.
So,
well, some of those people are just degenerates. Shocking apes are a whole different breed, so to speak. Mm.
Yeah,
I hate that strategy. I hate that playstyle, and I hope that gets nerfed to the fucking ground in the future. But. All things considered,
PvP.
Yeah, like I will never, I don't mind stuff that will like synergize. Like, you know, if you have a hunter, a titan, and a warlock, like what they initially try to do with the Aeon stuff on your fire team, where it's like those things play off each other for PvE, but for anything PvP specific, I don't want that.
You know, that's
that would be kind of cool though.
Yeah, I was going to say, because getting the new, in my case, getting the new Warlock leg pieces where if I have a healing rift, it sends out little healing buddies to nearby allies and stuff like that. I love that just because I've mentioned it so many times. I love playing Will of Radiance Warlock. I love playing that support role where I myself am trying to stay alive as long as I possibly can, to help others stay alive as possibly can. I love that exotic piece. Like I said earlier, it's my new favorite, even though I've only used it for maybe an hour or so. I want more things that bring that support role a little bit more to life. And maybe that's another thing that Bungie can try to do is focus on just like, do you want to be an attacker? Do you want to be a defender? Do you want to be a healer? I know we're getting into like a completely different type of game that Destiny is, but it would be really great if they had certain aspects that kind of accentuated those roles.
I like that idea.
I mean, I'm kind of thinking like what I was talking about earlier, like against the enemy type that you're playing. But like, let's say if you have a Titan teammate, they can get their melee back twice as quickly. You know, hunters get something back. You know, just like something in general like that. I think that's really cool because, I mean, it can, you know, it can lead to some shitty stuff too. But at least it's like you're helping your teammates. It's a support role, which I don't think a lot of people generally do or would like to do. It's like Lumina. Lumina is a good idea, but nobody ever uses Lumina. I think you need
they
something
might with
more
this
viable.
New Warlock thing, since it synergizes, but...
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm all for the idea of, like, you know, letting people lean into specific support roles or really offensive roles or, like, tanky roles. That's kind of what, like, the classes were supposed to be originally anyway. I just don't want it to go too down the rabbit hole. To me, a good example is something like Apex. Game. Yeah. I like Apex Legends a lot. I think Valorant is the same way. Where it's like it's these ability things. Like, you know, these characters very clearly lean into a specific role, but it still all comes down to the gunplay, you know? And like, you know, playing the abilities properly and being supporting properly, and you can do it, but it still all comes down to the actual gunplay and whatnot, and it's still definitely a shooter. Something like Overwatch, I think, is an example of that's gone, you know, like it's hardcore gone into like the role system with like healers and whatnot and tanks. And I don't want Destiny to become like that, but I would be okay with it becoming more like Apex or Valorant, where it's like, you know, you can very clearly build yourself a certain way. I would like to run Override with you, Steven, just for you using that exotic, because I did it with someone earlier, and holy fuck, it saved my life at least a couple of times getting the little random healing dart coming in.
Yeah, because you have like you have Phoenix Protocol, the exotic chess piece for Warlocks. You know, any kills you get in Well of Radiance, you get some return on your super, which is good. It helps. Then you have Starfire Protocol, which also gives you your grenades are a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And then there's another one that's escaping me right now, where you basically get a second grenade on it. So if I'm running any one of those and Well of Radiance Warlock, like I'm almost locking myself into that support role just because I'm accentuating what my abilities already do. So like I said, I would love to have more than that. And yes, I totally agree with you, Michael. Some of the specific trees in each subclass kind of lend themselves already to that. I would just love to see more unique pieces to go with it. Again, like
synergy, like Lumina exactly. And that new exotic one, like, you know, that's cool. And it's not leaning too far into it where it feels like you're playing a different
game.
Go
to the assembler. I just say that.
That's cool. You know, like you want the synergy. You want to feel like you're having an impact in the role, but I don't want it to feel like a different game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can feel that.
Yeah. I like when people play some supporty roles. Like I could see that being really useful in something like, you know, Deepstone Crypt. Where it's like, Steven, you'll just be sitting up in one of your rooms while we're killing ads, and you just have your rift down and just sending periodic healing little drones and buddies to help people out. Like, for encounters like that, that sounds like a really good idea. You know? Keep the
survivability. You've got to also, you've got to make it so you get your rift back quicker, too. So you should make sure that you have your stuff set up for that.
Yeah, currently sitting at 93 for recovery, so my class ability is looking pretty good right now.
Nice.
That's good then, yeah. I think mine's at like 60.
Yeah, everything else is like at 50, so I mean, it's not the greatest build right now, but it's also like really early into this season, so I still have a long ways to go. Last bits before we close out for this particular show. Final thoughts so far. It's, again, only been 2 days in Season of the Splicer, and in some cases it's only been like a day and a half because of the whole error honeydew situation. But I'm enjoying it. I love the aesthetics. We didn't really talk too much about the stories and the characters that are back in this, but we'll save that for next week. I love the direction that this is going, and in my final thoughts, I'm really excited for Vault of Glass to be coming back in the next week. So, really?
Glass.
I'm here for it.
I mean, I like since I haven't raided with you guys, I haven't raided at all. but I'm going to get a group together for Vault of Glass. It's just such a fun one. And my two buddies that I play with now, Al and Ed, they actually have never played Vault of Glass. Ed played D1 but never could get a group together, and Al never played D1. So it'll be really fun, just to go in knowing, I mean, the essentials of it, unless they change a bunch of it, which I don't think they will. But just reliving that, like I said earlier, is my favorite gaming experience. I am so stoked for it. Even if there's not a ton else this season, which I think there's going to be a moderate portion, it's not going to be probably as packed as last season, the Season of the Chosen, but I think it's still going to have a lot of good stuff.
I mean, we haven't even gotten to the weekly activity, I think, that starts next week, Expunge.
Oh, is that next week? Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's like we have Override now, and I think we're going to get more planets for Override, but Expunge is going to be like the really cool weekly thing, like kind of similar to Presage, I think.
I mean, I doubt it'll be that in depth, but I'm hoping so, because that and like it'll probably be like the Hawkmoon mission, the can't remember what it's called,
but Harbinger, the one from the season
before, Harbinger. I'm guessing it'll be like that, which wasn't as in depth as the Presage, but it was still like really good lore wise and pretty fun to play.
Mm-hmm.
That's my hope anyway.
Yeah, I have high hopes for the season. Bungie doing Bungie things with some of their fuck ups, but I think there's a really good foundation for at least the gameplay here, and I'm really here for a lot of it.
Yeah, one thing is the story seems to be strong again, which is a trend that they've been doing.
Great.
And I one thing specifically, like it goes into last season, is I feel like there's been a lot of distrust between certain high-ranking officials and the Vanguard, and. You know, with Zavala and like Saladin, and even Osiris didn't believe in a lot of the stuff Zavala was doing. That seems to be happening this season with Lakshmi and Saint not trusting the Fallen or the Elixni. So I really hope they keep on sowing the dissent between a lot of these characters, and I hope it leads somewhere big. I don't know what it could be, but I just want there to be so much mistrust that something big could happen. Like somebody big betraying the Vanguard or whatever else happening, because I think that would make for an incredible story.
So I don't think Steven and I can speak to this at all. We have...
There is a text dump of spoilers, yeah, just FYI.
Every string, which is like any bit of text in the game that's happened, it's going to happen this season.
You both read it?
Or it's added. Yeah, so Steven and I absolutely know what happens in the season, so I actually suspect George probably might as well, but I'm glad we have you in here, Bobby, because Steven and I literally cannot say anything here.
I'm going blind, so I can talk.
Without it being spoilery.
Yeah, don't confirm or deny.
I am saying nothing.
And I will say it was partially my fault, partially not, because I... wasn't even realizing what I was clicking on before I started reading it, and at first I just thought it was somebody like making shit up, and then I read through, it was like, oh no, this is actual text dumps from the game. So
there are no spoilers.
It was one of those things where like, crap, I wish I didn't read it, because that's all I'm gonna say. I really don't want to say anything else, because even a reaction is considered a spoiler, but yes.
Confirming or denying, I get you. I feel you.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to this. Bobby, thank you for joining the podcast, and hopefully this will be the last time you join the podcast.
Oh, I would love to do it more. It's been a lot of fun. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, one more episode, and you'll tie Jeff for fourth place on our list.
I hope to pass him soon. Then,
when Jeff comes back to the podcast, we have to make him reintroduce himself.
Who are you?
I forgot you existed.
Anyway,
that was another episode of Your Average Destiny Salt. Thank you very much for everyone for joining in. Be sure to tell two friends, like, comment, subscribe. We are on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, all of the fancy podcasting sites. For Bobby, for Michael, I am Steven. Till next time.
Stay salty, community.